Welcome in our very first guest of today's show, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joins us. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. How are you on this Friday afternoon?
Doing well, Andy. How about you, man?
So far, so good. And as always, there's no shortage of topics for us to discuss. I want to get right into the college football slate. And there are a few interesting games from a Big Ten perspective that I'd like to attack. Let's begin with Michigan State and Penn State. Penn State, of course, coming off a big win over Michigan last weekend. And Michigan State, you really never know which Sparty you're going to get. You mentioned this in your article a little earlier today about how there was a lot of public money on Michigan State. Any other reason why you think that line has come down from 7 at the beginning of the week?
Yeah, I mean, this line, I actually just looked a little bit before we started the call here. I mean, this line's down to 5 now, and this one kind of fits the MO of what we've seen this year in college football, where you've got a Penn State team that probably should have lost to Iowa, should have blown Michigan out last week, but let Michigan back in the game, wound up being a very competitive game at the end. And Michigan State, you know, off of 2 blowout losses against Ohio State and Wisconsin, off the bye week, this just feels like one of those spots here this season in college football where you got a barking underdog here in Michigan State. And Mark D'Antonio is kind of known for this over the course of his tenure there in East Lansing. So I think a lot of people just like the idea of Michigan State winning this game because it kind of fits their MO. And I think that's kind of the driving force in the market here.
Understood, because you're right. There always seem to be a couple of games where Michigan State plays extraordinarily well in a situation where you feel like there's no chance they're even going to hang around. And you're right, this certainly seems like one of those environments. Moving on to a different Big Ten game, 14.5. That seemed like a good number for you when it comes to Ohio State and Wisconsin. I mean, Ohio State looks unbeatable right now, and Wisconsin, of course, is coming off that embarrassing loss to Illinois last week.
I think it's probably a pretty good number. I mean, my number in my power ratings is Ohio State minus 15. So in that respect, I think it's pretty good. This would have been a little bit lower, probably in the 12.5 or 13 range, had we not seen what we saw last weekend with Wisconsin losing to Illinois, Ohio State completely drubbing Northwestern. I think this line's probably right. I mean, Wisconsin is the type of team that can't really beat you multiple ways. They have to be able to run the football. They have to be able to use Jonathan Taylor. They're very one-dimensional on offense. Maybe they've got that play-action passing game going a little bit, but Ohio State doesn't have a multifaceted offense to worry about here. So, you know, it's not like last year where they lost to Purdue and Rondale Moore was an extension of the running game, a lot of quick throws to him, you know, stuff like that. Wisconsin doesn't have that element to their offense. So, you know, I mean, I think Ohio State wins this game comfortably. Whether or not it's by, you know, 15 or more points, I'm not sure. But Wisconsin's probably not the test that we think Ohio State deserves to get. And, you know, quite frankly, if Michigan State beats Penn State, and, you know, obviously plenty of problems with Michigan, maybe Ohio State just doesn't get tested until the college football playoff semifinal.
It's entirely possible. I mean, so you mentioned 15 seems like a decent number here. Can you see something like, I don't know, maybe like a 42-21? Could you see something in somewhere in that range? You think Ohio State could score that much against Wisconsin?
I think it's a possibility that Ohio State does. I don't know so much about Wisconsin. I worry about the explosiveness of their offense. I mean, Jack Cohen is a solid game manager kind of quarterback, but Wisconsin needs big plays in the running game. And with how well the back seven has played for Ohio State, with how well their defensive line has played this year, I just don't see Wisconsin getting those big plays. I think you're more likely to see a lower scoring game here. Maybe Wisconsin's able to slow down that Ohio State offense a little bit. This may be the game where you need to see Justin Fields actually complete some of those throws down the field that, you know, really he's missed a few of them throughout the year and they haven't needed them. Maybe this is the week that they do need them. But I think you're looking at more of a lower scoring game here, something like Ohio State, you know, kind of in that 31-10, 31-14 type of range.
One more note here on Ohio State. There were some early reports about the line being released when Ohio State faces Rutgers. And I think Ohio State was favored by 50 points. So you've seen this clearly. You know what I'm talking about. So I think Ohio State was favored by 50, and I think the over-under was, I think, 53 or 54, something like that. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it. It's actually a good buddy of mine, Matt Lindemann, who's on the odds team at Circa Sports in downtown Las Vegas, down on Fremont Street. And, yeah, that's what he said. He said that his sheet pulled out Ohio State minus 50.5 with a total of 53.5. I think my number's somewhere in the 46-47 range with Ohio State a favorite in that game. So, Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a Rutgers team total of probably 3.5 with the over-under, and the under's not going to surprise me if it comes through. I mean, they are historically bad offensively. They're very, very bad in the passing game. And also, too, I mean, they're going to go into that game knowing that they have no chance to win it. So I kind of wonder how much energy that the Rutgers actually has in that one.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus told us yesterday that he's hearing that's going to be a night game as well. I mean, think about that. So you've got Ohio State, Wisconsin kicking at high noon tomorrow, and regardless of what Wisconsin is coming off of with that embarrassing loss against Illinois, that's a high noon kick. Yet when Ohio State plays Rutgers, it sounds like that's going to be a night game. Go figure. But regardless, we'll move on to our next Big Ten matchup. Not exclusively a Big Ten matchup. It's Michigan and Notre Dame. Boy, an interesting flip in this game. Your thoughts on why and how this all flipped?
Yeah, you don't have a whole lot of confidence in Michigan out there in the investment community, and you can understand why. I mean, when they've stepped up in class, when they've played better teams, they haven't looked very good. You know, they didn't look good against Army, and Army's not as good as we thought they would be coming into the season. They obviously had all sorts of issues with Wisconsin and that blowout. Last week against Penn State, they got themselves down 21-0 before they came back a little bit. Even the Illinois game, and I know everyone thinks a little bit more of Illinois after beating Wisconsin, but that was a game that Michigan had well in hand, let Illinois back into it, wound up winning by 17, but it wasn't nearly as pretty as the final score would suggest. There's just not a lot of confidence in this team. However, I will say this. We saw some late money come in on Michigan last week. They got up to a 9-point underdog. They got some late money coming back down to 7, which is exactly where the game fell with that 28-21 final. I think Michigan winds up taking some sharp money here Friday night into Saturday morning, maybe Saturday afternoon as well. So I do think that Michigan ultimately closes probably a 1-point favorite. But again, there's just not a whole lot of confidence in this team out there in the betting community, and people trust Notre Dame more. And sometimes you get a line move based on that.
Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll transition now into the NFL. And earlier today, you put together your NFL betting odds market report. We'll get into some specific games here in just a moment. But, you know, just wanted to pick your brain here from a general point of view. Was there anything in particular that really kind of stood out when you put that together earlier today?
Something that really stands out is, you know, last week there were 4 or 5 games that were sitting right on plus or minus 3, and then you had several games that were below, you know, minus 3 to a pick'em range. A lot of games expected to be very competitive last week. That's not the case at all here this week. We've got 2 games between minus 3 and a pick'em. We've got a game at 3.5, and that's with Kansas City not having Patrick Mahomes. And then a bunch of really high numbers here this week. So based on what we're seeing out there in the betting market, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a very competitive week of football, a very enjoyable week of football. But, you know, again, I mean, we've seen time and time again that, you know, the games still have to be played, and sometimes we do get some big upsets.
Let's get into that Browns-Patriots matchup, because I know that one certainly has certainly gotten a lot of attention locally this week. A double-digit favorite. The Patriots are at home against the Browns, and, you know, with everything going on with the Browns, at least over the last few hours here, with Greg Robinson stating that he's going to get benched. Well, it seems like Freddie Kitchens and company have tried to keep that quiet throughout the course of the week. Boy, the Browns are certainly coming off of a bye where you felt like they might be able to fix some things. The Patriots are coming off a game on Monday night. This line surprised you a little bit with the Browns and Patriots?
It does surprise me a little bit. I mean, you know, the Browns, I think the line's kind of in the 12-point range now. It was 13 throughout most of the week. And when you look at the look-ahead lines for this game, a couple weeks ago it was New England minus 7.5. Then it was New England minus 10.5. So we've seen a lot of adjustments here based on the Browns' recent play and, of course, based on New England's recent play where, I mean, they can just do no wrong at this point in the season. You're going to find out a lot about Freddie Kitchens in this game because you've got 2 weeks to try and figure this thing out. And if he doesn't figure it out and they get blown out and embarrassed, it's a real big problem for the Browns. As you mentioned, Patriots off a short week, Monday Night Football. Next week they play Baltimore, so that's a much bigger game for them in terms of, you know, the standing within the conference. Not that Baltimore is going to catch them, but still kind of more of a measuring stick type of game for New England on Sunday Night Football. So the one saving grace for the Browns is this. I mean, you've got a New England defense that's kind of in line for some regression. And also, you look at the list of quarterbacks that New England has played. Yeah, they played Big Ben in week 1, but you know, the Steelers didn't do anything. Belichick had all offseason to prepare for that game. They've faced Luke Falk. They've faced Sam Darnold. They've faced Josh Allen. They've faced a lot of really low-end quarterbacks. And Baker Mayfield, while he hasn't played well this year, at least has talent. The wide receivers can win some one-on-one battles. The best group of wide receivers that New England has seen here so far. I think the Browns keep it close. I mean, I don't think that they win the game necessarily, but you know, some bad weather conditions maybe forces Kitchens' hand into some more Nick Chubb. I think the Browns keep it close, but I mean, again, this Patriots team, they're historically good on defense. They're on pace to smash anything that the 2000 Ravens have done, anything that the 85 Bears have done. They're a legitimate team, and with Belichick as the defensive coordinator, they've shown just how good they can be.
One more NFL game to hit on here. You alluded to this earlier about Patrick Mahomes missing the game against the Packers on Sunday. I thought it was interesting. And your NFL betting odds market report, you talk about this, about how the Packers aren't as highly regarded by the sharp bettors as they are by the public bettors. And right now, you still have some places that are showing the Packers giving 3 to the Chiefs, and they're on the road. This surprises me because as a Packers fan, I don't remember the last time the Packers played particularly well in Kansas City. That's traditionally a really tough place for the Packers to play.
It is a really tough place to play. And when you talk about home field advantage in the NFL, there's Seattle, there's Kansas City, there's Denver because of the altitude, and then there's pretty much everywhere else. And, you know, those first three that I mentioned are in a class unto themselves. So Arrowhead, even without Patrick Mahomes, still a pretty good home field advantage there. This line did adjust about 9.5 points with Patrick Mahomes being out. Originally, the look-ahead lines had Kansas City about a 6-point favorite. Now they're a 3.5-point dog. Some places got as high as 4 here early in the week. But there are a lot of people that don't really believe in the Packers and don't really believe in Green Bay's ability to adjust in-game. They've been phenomenal on the stat sheet in the first quarter, but as the game goes along, they look very pedestrian. So I think there will be some segments of the sharp market that do like Kansas City here in this game that will go ahead and take a shot with the home team on Sunday Night Football. And you know, look, I mean, maybe the Chiefs just kind of rally a little bit. There is a theory out there, kind of a superstar subtraction theory, that in that first game without a key player, and a lot of times we see this more in the NBA with the, you know, the fact that it's a lot more frequent, but you will see teams step up. You will see guys kind of pull a little bit more of the weight, and I think that may be an overriding sentiment here with Matt Moore in Kansas City this week.
Great stuff. Well, before we let you go, certainly want to get your thoughts on Game 3 in the World Series tonight. I don't know about you, but I was shocked by what I saw in the first two games of that series. What are your thoughts on Game 3 of the series tonight?
Yeah, completely stunning to see Cole and Verlander both go down in the manner in which they did, and you know, now all the pressure shifts to the Houston side with, you know, no DH. Yordan Alvarez probably has to play the outfield. They've got to weaken their defense in order to do that. You've got Zach Greinke and Anibal Sanchez tonight. And, you know, look, I mean, the big thing about this game is, you know, what happens in the middle innings when you may have to pinch hit for these guys if you're in a run-scoring situation where Washington's middle relief is not very good. Houston has more middle relief options than Washington does. That's probably the game right there. So I think you look for some live betting opportunities. I think it's very tough to pick a winner here in the pregame, but for the purposes of chatting with you here today, Andy, I think I've got to look the Houston route. I think they're too good to just roll over here. I think Anibal Sanchez probably in line for a little bit of regression based on what he's done in the playoffs so far.
Great stuff as always, Adam. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good. Take care.